4 years ago, made the jump to coach in varsity high school basketball boys. And in that first week, well, third practice into the season, start going through a drill. And it's just this basic 2-on-2 type of drill. And literally almost every other possession, we're turning the ball over. And I'm not talking just, hey, turnover, trying to do things the right way. It's like silly, really, really poor turnovers, and my anger just kept brewing and brewing and brewing, and just felt like I had to do something. And in that moment, just started screaming, yelling. Had a basketball in my hand. I took it, slammed it across on the floor, hit the roof, and all of a sudden, like literally within 2 seconds, the gym goes quiet. I have 12 faces staring at me blankly. And even as I'm saying this right now, I can just picture some of their faces in my mind, the look on their eyes. And my two assistant coaches look at me, and I just see their heads drop and kind of like start just that awkward pacing around, like they don't know what to do in that moment. And I didn't know what to do. And I just felt this overwhelming sense of, you just lost control, and this is not the way you want to coach. And we went on to the next drill, but the damage was done. You can see the rest of the practice, just the energy was deflated, it was gone. And I actually ended up ending practice early that day, 5 minutes. I was like, okay, this is pointless now. And didn't even really talk to my coaches after. I just wanted to get out of the gym. And I remember walking home that night and just sitting there, and I told my wife, I told her what I'd done, and just couldn't get it out of my mind. Man, how did I make those guys feel? What did I just model for them? Is that who I am as a coach?
So you just heard a bit from our guest today, Shane Souden, and he was sharing one of the most powerful moments in his coaching journey. And I think every coach has a few of these moments or stories, and it may not have been us losing our temper, but we've all had a moment where we become aware we are not the coach we want to be. Shane's now the head men's basketball coach at Briarcrest College in Karenport, Saskatchewan, and I've been blessed and incredibly grateful to mentor Shane for nearly a year now in the Thrive On Challenge mentorship program. Shane's going to be discussing with us today his journey from transactional to transformational coaching. Welcome to the Coaching Culture Podcast. I'm JP Nurbin alongside my co-host Nate Sanderson, and every week in 30 minutes or less, we're giving you transformational leadership tools and strategies. This podcast is brought to you by Thrive On Challenge, which provides mentorship for coaches to help them grow as a coach and build their culture. You can learn more at thriveonchallenge.com. You're listening to episode 85, Moving from Transactional to Transformational Leadership, with our guest today, Shane Souden. Shane, why don't you start today by just sharing a little bit about your journey of how you started to really first learn about this difference between transactional and transformational coaching, identified where you fell on that spectrum, and started to make the shift.
Whenever we talk about that shift, that big moment where you kind of make that switch from transactional to transformational, when thinking about it, there seems to be a lot of little moments leading up to that one big moment. And that's my story. That's my journey. And if I look at it, it's really happened over the course of probably, wow, five or six years. And probably the earliest memory I can remember is a friend of mine, his name is Justin Simpkins. We were working in an athletic department years ago, probably about 7-8 years ago. And he was starting some new things, and he had started along this journey as well. And he gave me this book called Season of Life. And that was kind of the first time somebody had given me any material, and I love to read, any material about coaching with a higher purpose other than simply winning games or championships, and building young men and caring more about who they're becoming 20 years from now, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, at the time I was like, hey, I love books. I got a free book. Great. Read the book. Thought this was fantastic. Read it. I was like, yeah, I'm a transformational coach. I believe all these things. I'm doing this. So nothing really changed. You know, still was a yeller, still focused on the win, you know, putting way too much emphasis, you know, being depressed after a loss, being too high after a win, that sort of thing. About a year later after that, we were working with I don't know if we'd call him a mentoring coach, but like a leadership coach. He'd come into our athletic department, and we did this exercise called life mapping. And basically you take this long roll of paper and you lay it over a floor or a long table, whatever it is, and you basically draw a timeline on the sheet of paper. And all the exercises you're supposed to do is you're supposed to sit down with a partner, and you've got to be a little vulnerable at first. And you basically go back to your earliest memory in life, and you just kind of start listing on a timeline things you remember. And basically what starts happening is the good, like great experiences, and then some maybe more negative experiences in your life. You start plotting these on this timeline. And after about, it took a few hours actually, started seeing along my journey, a lot of my highs and my lows all had to do with my experiences as a player or as a coach. And being able to unpack that and be like, okay, how did that experience impact me? And then started really wrestling with a lot of the questions that were in the book Season of Life, or you know, that book was about Joe Ehrman, and then looked at Joe Ehrman's book Inside Out Coaching, and where he asked those questions. Well, why do I coach the way I do? Looking back at how I was coaching, I had started modeling a lot of the good things that of how I was coached, but then realized some of the maybe more transactional, or I would call them traumatic or negative experiences that I had experienced as a player, I was replicating those experiences with my own players now as a coach.
So Shane, you described kind of this gradual journey. What were some of the things as you started changing, and maybe not so much externally with your players in terms of your own behaviors, but just internally, you know, the shift that has to take place? Like, what were some of the things that were challenging just for you as you were going through that gradual process?
Probably the biggest thing I wrestled with was, and I think it was an Inside Out Coaching when Joe Ehrman was talking about how he measures success, and he's like, well, ask me how my players are doing 20 years from now. I read that statement over and over again. And I was like, okay, well, I agree with that, but then started realizing, are my actions backing that up? Where I sought my validation, where I get my pat on the back, where I would feel good, was if at the end of the game, we scored more points than the other team. And then, you know, we had these goals at the end of the season, or we wanted to make it to a certain level. We wanted to make it to this championship or win this or get this. And when we didn't get that, it was depressing. It was sad. And I was really getting tired of that, but it was really hard for me to disconnect from that whole, the number one most important thing is, what kind of experience am I creating for my players? How am I building into them? Who are they becoming? Are they a better person because of being part of my program and me coaching them, versus, hey, our main thing here is to win games and that's it, right? And all that other stuff that happens, great, but that's not what we're focused on. And so I was still measuring ultimately my success, number one, by wins and losses. And for a number of years there was a stretch there for probably, I don't even know how many years, we were losing more than winning. And I think that also led to my burnout, where I was questioning myself. I was stressing over things that were out of my control. You know, at high school, you only have so much control over which players you get to work with, stuff like that. And thinking I was a terrible coach, all these things. That was probably the biggest challenge that I had to get over first, was how am I going to measure success? And once I started changing that paradigm in my mind, it was more freeing for me then to be like, okay, now I can start really being more player focused, and caring more about them as a whole person, which included them as a basketball player. And then trusting that the success on the court will come as a result of that.
I know from my experience in just growing in the, you know, transformational leadership and trying to, as you said, put your players first, build those relationships and that experience first, regardless of what happens with winning and losing, not everybody is quick to accept that as a definition of success. I mean, I'm in my second year of my program right now. You know, last year, my first year, we only won 3 games. And I remember having coffee with one of the dads after the season. And, you know, he was pretty supportive of the approach that we were taking, but he's like, you know, year from now, if you only win 3 games, like, I don't know how people are going to deal with that, you know? And in other words, like, he's just voicing the reality that I think you see in so many places in the sports world, which is that's great to put kids first. It's great to build their character. It's great to have these noble intentions. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at the end of the day, the scoreboard's still on. And that's kind of the common perception in the culture. Did you feel like you had to deal with that in certain ways as you were growing as well?
Oh, yeah. And it still happens today. Anytime you ask, like, okay, we, like, even this year, my first season coaching at the college level again, you'll play, we play two games on the weekend. You come back on the weekend, you're back in school, you're back at work on the Monday. And what's the question everybody asks? How'd the weekend go? And they're not asking about, hey, how did your players grow in their growth mindset, or how did they grow as a human being? They're not asking that. They are asking, did you win? Right? And we didn't win a lot this year. So it was like, yeah, and it gets frustrating. So that's so ingrained in our culture, where the question, how did you do, means did you win or lose? Right? And so I'm trying to reframe that question in my mind. And honestly, I think that's why it took me so long to make that switch, because it took years. And I love winning. Winning is fun. Winning is way better than losing. I enjoy it. It feels way better. But I know myself, and I still wrestle with it. And I would even call it a struggle sometimes. And people are rarely talking about what's your culture like. How are the kids do? How are the guys doing in school? How are they growing as young men, learning to take responsibility? Like all those sorts of things. Those questions just don't get asked.
You experienced some resistance with some of the players when you started to change the way you did things. And in particular, you know, you've talked about your issue of yelling. I think every yep. kind of coach, when they're transactional, I think a lot of times we think about yelling. I think other coaches do different behaviors where they can be manipulative, they can be sarcastic, they can be really cutting. Like everyone has their way of transactionally behaving that they really struggle with. And for you, it was some of it, and for me as well, largely was my temper and yelling. What were some resistance to your changes as you tried to move to more transformational ways of leading?
It was a very unique situation, because the year before I was coaching the JV team, I was moving up with about, oh man, I think 7 or 8 of them were coming up with me to varsity, and which was exciting, but extremely young team. And so they're used to me being, you know, I would yell from time to time, animated on the sidelines, maybe like a halftime. The one thing they always like to talk about, hey coach, remember when you broke that locker at whatever? And I was just like, I didn't break. Anyways, the stories get, you know, blown out of proportion eventually, where they just like adding to it because they think it's funny. But at the same time, you know, and I think that's where we fall as coaches sometimes, where, yeah, we look back on episodes like that, even our players laugh them off, but then there might have still been some damage done in those interactions. But yeah, some of the resistance I felt was, you know, literally that next day after that whole episode where I'd gotten really upset with my team, and the next day we came in, we had a team meeting. I said, guys, I'm done yelling at you. And kind of laid out how I'm going to talk with them. And here's the principles we're going to start living by. And honestly, I told the guys, I said, guys, I don't know if this is going to work. I said, but we're going to stick to it. And I said, I have most of you guys for the next 3 years. If it takes 3 years, we're going to take 3 years. And they kind of looked at me like, coach, we don't want that to take that long. Right. And I remember, literally after about 2 weeks, I had one player in particular came to me in my office, like, coach, yell at me. And I was like, what? It's like, you need to yell at me. I was like, I'm not going to yell at you. He's like, no, I need you to yell at me. I was like, why do you think you need me to yell at you? He's like, well, it just gets me going. And I said, I want you to get to the point where I don't need to, like, you don't need me to yell at you. You should be able to find that intrinsically within yourself. And let's find different ways, different triggers, different, whatever it is, we got to find a different way to help you get to that level of play. Because here's the thing, I yell at you and it works for about 2 quarters. And then we have a game 2 days later and you're back to your old bad habits. This isn't working. And the interesting story about that with that particular kid, and we would have that conversation literally probably for the next, oh man, season and a half. And what I learned from him was, in his home life, that's what he was used to. That was his default. And so, you know, I'd been an educator for a number of years, but just started to see, hey, when these kids come to the gym, they're bringing all sorts of baggage, situations that I don't know what's been going on at home, but he wanted me to coach him the way he was being parented. but the way he was being parented was happening in a very negative environment, and we had to switch that because he was just wanting to continue in that. He wanted out, but he didn't know how to get out.
So on that, you know, I think that's, you bring up a big point, which is one of the biggest challenges and resistances we face is sometimes they want that transactional coach. Like there's literally some players that want that yelling, they want that screaming, they want us to be on them. They don't want a lot of autonomy. They don't want to be challenged to be leaders and step up in that way. And the other thing is, it goes so against what we've been, the way we've been coached, but also the way that we see other coaches coaching in the media and on TV, right? So parents may even come in and say, well, are you even coaching? Like you don't seem to be doing much coaching, right? And they'll criticize us or criticize a coach because they've pulled themselves back and they're allowing the players to lead and have that kind of athlete-centered approach.
When parents or outsiders see that, in some ways, they're a little bit validated because we're such a results-oriented society worrying about that scoreboard. And the example I had was, yeah, that first year when we made that switch, I said, this is how we're going to do this. And honestly, there was some games we probably lost. There was moments in games or in practices where, well, we'll stick with games, was, you know, I could have called a timeout and reamed them out and then gotten maybe some quicker results. But rather than do that, we brought them in and it was painful because I knew, it was like, man, I can get that quick. We'll respond if I lose it on them right now and we'll get going, but that's not going to serve us well in the future. And so I was willing to sacrifice short-term gain as far as maybe results on the scoreboard or wins and losses for those, honestly, those first two seasons with that group. But then eventually what happened was by that third season, the guys had bought in and they started seeing results with it and they were able to self-correct. We would call timeouts. And it was really neat to see in that third season. So those sophomores were now seniors and we'd call timeout and I'd start there, coach, we got this. We know what you're going to say. And then they would like literally say the sentence or the principle, like, guys, this is what we need to do. And I was like, okay, I'm seeing this. This has taken three seasons and it just gives you kind of warm fuzzies. And I was like, oh, it worked. It took way longer than I wanted it to, but it's starting to work. And we stuck to it, which is really neat. Or even now, like, I used to be the running up and down the sidelines, you know, harping, clapping, yelling, move like crazy. And now I'm a lot more reserved. I'm quiet. And taking over a new program, that's been a bit of a challenge, but I chew gum when I'm on the sidelines. And so people who know me, they're in the sidelines, like, man, you're like, you can just see your jaw just going. And I'm like, well, I'm calm on the outside, but on the inside, I'm just like going crazy, but I know I need to model it for my guys. And that doesn't mean we're not intense. You can be intense, but I'm not going to be a screamer and a yeller. So,
well, Shane, you had mentioned taking over at a college program again, and now kind of being farther along on your journey into this transformational coaching experience. What was it like trying to begin from that place, you know, where you're trying to establish those relationships and that approach right from the beginning, but doing so, you know, at a higher level of your sport? Did you see any differences in your experience with that?
Yeah. Probably the biggest challenge for me was it was a whole new group of guys. So it was almost like starting over again. So, you know, taking over a winless program, bringing in a group of guys, basically it was like, hey, you want to be part of a rebuilding project where you're going to grow, get an opportunity to play loss as a freshman. And it was really positive that way. But a lot of the guys, you know, started with 17 guys on the roster to start the season. And so I got 17 guys who have all been coached a different way, coming into one situation. And some of them, you could tell right away, they found it refreshing, not being yelled at and all this kind of stuff. And then other guys, I still remember a few, you know, working on defensive stuff, this example, and our defense isn't able to get stops. We're not rotating properly, all those little things. And one player, he's right beside me. And I just kind of stopped practice and we're talking through what's going on, and he's just whispering in my ear. He's like, coach, yell at us. Coach, you gotta yell at us. It was kind of funny when you think about it, because he's just like, literally, like, coach, like, you gotta get mad at us, run us, you gotta punish us. And I appreciated what he was trying to say, because it's almost comical, you know, because like he did it in a way that the other guys didn't notice, which is really weird. But while I was trying to talk to everybody else, he wasn't being disrespectful, he was just trying to find a solution. And was able to bring them back in and discuss, well, why is this not happening? We made the adjustment without me having to yell. But yeah, like I think that was the biggest challenge was getting guys to buy in to my philosophy. And I think the biggest thing is sticking with it. Like you got to be consistent. Like it's one thing to say, hey, this is how we're going to operate. These are the principles we're going to stick to. But if you deviate on that when things don't go right, or after a little while of things consistently maybe not going your way, maybe the losses are piling up or whatever, and you're like, okay, well, I'm going to start screaming at you guys to get results. No, that you can't do that. And so I saw more and more buy-in as we went. And honestly, it was a grind, but I think we developed a really good culture. But then at the same time, I always told my guys, "It's like, hey, I'm growing with you guys. I'm a first-year men's basketball coach at the college level. I got to get better. I want to grow with you." And just being vulnerable with that, I was like, I don't know how it all figured out, guys, but if I make a mistake, I'm going to do my best to improve upon it. And I think that created a shared responsibility, a shared vulnerability within the group that helped us along the way. Because, yeah, it was a grind. It was hard.
I've been really, really fortunate and blessed and grateful to have worked with you over the last year in the mentorship program and to help you through this journey. And I think a lot of coaches are afraid of the idea of mentorship or that word around it. They don't really understand what it means and the impact they could have and the value that comes from it. Can you share with the listeners out there just what mentorship, how that's impacted you on this journey? You know, and I came to you at a time when I consider you a pretty darn transformational coach, but you've really taken to it and it's been special.
Well, do we have time to record another podcast? JP, working with you in this mentoring relationship for the past year, is an app. It's been an absolute game changer for not only as a coach, like when I called you last May or whatever, what it was, and we clicked that first time on the phone and just talking about my journey and all that kind of stuff and what you were providing and to see where it's come now, like an absolute game changer. And so not only professionally as a coach, because I knew I was transitioning from high school to college and I wanted to try and make that transition as smooth as possible, trying to grow, learn, to be the best I could be. And I knew I needed something. And so when I reached out to you, mentorship was something I'd thought about doing for probably like 4 or 5 years. And I looked into various mentoring programs, all kind of stuff. And honestly, the one thing that was holding me back was making that financial investment. And I just got to the point where I was like, I don't care about the money anymore. I care more about investing in myself and growing and doing that and then took the plunge and did it. But, it's helped me grow as a coach, as a husband, as a father, and just a person. And it's hard sometimes. At first I saw you more as like, hey, this third person who doesn't know me personally, you're not my wife, you're not my best friend from who's known me all my life, that sort of thing. And this is a person like I can just be an open book and share all my what I'm wrestling with and just expose myself, because I'm like, that's the only way I'm going to grow. And I kind of made that commitment when we started. I told myself I was going to do that, and I have. And I think that has opened the door then for you to ask great questions, provide value, serve me, guide me, whatever it is, without judgment. And that's been extremely freeing, because I think everybody needs, yeah, I recommend it to every coach I come in contact with. I'm like, you need a mentor. I think we all need mentors. It's so life-giving. It's worth the investment. You get back tenfold what you put into it. Yeah, it's been an absolute, I could go on and on about it, but it's been a fantastic journey.
Yeah, and I think, you're in a really good athletic department where you're getting support from people, but I think there's value in just having somebody. I know I've seen that when I worked with Jamie Gilbert, of just having somebody outside of our context that can that can be there for us, and someone that, and I'm just really humbled by all the things you shared there, and it's just, like I said, it's been an incredible experience. Well, Shane, I really appreciate you coming to the podcast, sharing your journey, opening up, being vulnerable with us about that, and definitely appreciate all the affirmation you kind of gave to the mentorship program.
Oh, it's been great, and I really enjoyed it.
Well, JP, there's a lot of great stuff in here with this week's interview with Shane, and I'm going to go back to the beginning of his story here, because I think that in the coaches that you and I have worked with, a lot of times the catalyst for change is not necessarily an inspirational speaker. It's not necessarily listening to our podcast. It's not necessarily a book that they encounter. A lot of times it's when we run into the person that we don't want to be. And too often that's us, right? And that's kind of what Shane's story is. Like, there's this moment where he slams the basketball. And for some of us, that might be when the rage monster gets out of control. For others of us, it could be when, we're confronted by our family because our priorities are totally out of whack, which can happen during a season. For me, I look back at turning points in my career, and one of the most significant moments for me was when I had a captain's meeting, and my captain said, "Coach, nobody really looks forward to coming to practice anymore. Nobody's having any fun." And for me, that really turned my focus inward and had this moment of self-awareness of, do I want to be that coach that nobody really looks forward to coming and being coached by every day? And that led to all sorts of changes in my own journey. And I think that's the takeaway from what Shane experienced, is that we all have those moments that we're not proud of. And when Shane came face to face with that, he didn't just try to get away from it or bury it or smooth it over the next day at practice, but he did something to change. He started to look inward and he took action to become a better person. And that's led to a culture that's much stronger, much more vibrant, and he's having a greater impact on the guys that he's coaching today because he responded in that way.
And that's what excites me so much about the work that we're doing at Thrive On Challenge, is because it doesn't matter if you're Shane or you're Jeff Boos, who we had on the podcast 2 weeks ago, or you're Nate or any other coach out there, everyone's in a different place on their journey. Right, everyone struggles with different things. For 2 weeks ago, Jeff talked about how he struggled with the emotional intelligence of his players, and that he wasn't having the relationships within the program that he wanted to create. And we all have these moments where, and for me on my journey, right, we have these moments where, like, I became self-aware, and I needed someone to walk with me on that journey. And that's what mentorship is about: is about meeting the coaches where they're at, and then to start walking together towards where they want to be, where they want to be as a person, as a coach, and where they want their culture to be. So if you're interested in mentorship, the first step is to just schedule a call with Nate or I. There's a button at the top of the details of this podcast episode, or you can also go to thriveonchallenge.com, click on the mentorship tab, and schedule a call with Nate or I there. Lastly, if you've got questions for Shane, he'd love to hear from you. So I'm going to put his information, his email, and his Twitter handle in the details of this podcast.